Well, hello, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again. I welcome you to our 11th study in this study that we're presently in, Judgment and Judging, the letter K, the letter J, and we're off to a good start. But I hope you've been having a wonderful day, and the Lord has been very kind to you. He is kind to us, isn't He? And thank you for joining in. And let me say something just before we get started. I had a person I sent. I've got these recordings on disc and everything, and I don't know why, but just feel like the Lord led me to do that and putting these things together. And I know that there's nothing real exciting and entertaining about these. And listen, I don't. This is not entertainment. This is study. This is study. Even though I would more than anything love for you to enjoy these, and I do. And when I finish, I have joy in my heart. But I don't enjoy the enemy fighting me all the way up to the point of pushing this button and starting this thing. Like I said before, I'm more of a speaker face to face. And I make more sense, and people get more out of it by looking at me. I'm not anything, by no means of anything, but when it comes to teaching, if it doesn't seem like entertainment to you, I apologize, but that's not what it's meant for, really, even though I would love for you to enjoy it. And I don't know why I'm saying that. I guess because what I started out to say, there was somebody that I sent a disc, and I think it's almost 300 hours and about 300 lessons all together in the ABCs of Christian Growth now. And when I sent it to them, their reply was that I needed to scream and holler more in it. And I didn't know how to reply to that. So I just want you to know, if you are used to certain types of teaching, certain types of preaching, I'm a better teacher in person, but I think the Lord intends for these to be this way because of a reason in His own mind and His own will, and I'm glad about that. But we're going to continue on and just carry on and learn God's Word and just see what God's Word says. There's so many people out there that are falling by the wayside. I see some wonderful, beautiful brothers and sisters that are trying to help other people when they start out, and they start out with the Word of God, and they're clinging to the Word of God, and they're testifying of the Word of God, and there's nothing but truth in their mouth. And then as they, for instance, on this social media and stuff like that, and they start out real good, and then as they start getting people to follow, the enemy starts using that, and they start compromising the Word of God. They start talking about this and talking about that and talking about translations and going into all a bunch of kooky, cockeyed stuff that they don't even need to talk about. And I mean, if they want to talk about it, that's their business, but it has nothing to do with learning the Word of God, with exception of what not to do. And they get led by the wayside, and then their whole ministry just turns upside down into something completely different. But they started out wonderful and just sticking to it. So I think, I don't know, maybe the more boring this is as far as my voice and my teaching goes, maybe that it'll stay fundamental to the Word of God and stick to God's Word that way. I don't know. But anyway, if that's your case, I apologize. I hope that you're enjoying these, and I know that it takes the strength of the Lord to keep the enemy from keeping you from being tempted to not listen to these. I know how big of a fight it is for you to sit down and listen to these and to study God's Word. I know. And I admire you for that, and so does the Lord. But like we have always said before, know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord is always going to make sure that He remembers what you are doing for His glory and to learn His Word. And it matters to the Lord whether you want to learn and whether your heart's in it and whether you're sincere. And I know that you are because you're here now. Now listen, another comment. If you want these, like I mentioned, on disc, or if you want them over the internet, or want them by email, or want them on paper, I have all that. And it's available. I just don't know how to put it out. I just go by somebody saying, "Hey, would you send me this?" And I send it to you. If you'd like to have it, you can get a hold of me at barnhouseministries@gmail.com, and just get a hold of me and say, "Brother TV, I'd like to have the ABCs." And if you just want one letter, just say so, and I'll get them to you. Okay. That's these literal, recorded lessons, and it's also the written lessons, and they run right along parallel with these lessons right here. I have them right in front of me when we're talking about them, so you'd be able to sit them down, and they're fill in the blank, and you'd be able to write along with doing that and learn three or four separate ways. Learn by looking, learn by reading, learn by writing, learn by listening. Plus you'd have them in paper. You can put them in file and you can teach them yourself. So it's all strictly God's Word, all King James Bible. And, we're not ashamed of that, are we? So let's continue. What was we talking about on our last lesson? We was talking about, judgment and judging, but in the category of divine judgment. We talked about that divine judgment is pertaining to the true God. It's not any being that's called a God. It's the true God, the one and living God. He's the only one that has power. Now, the enemy has power, but he don't have power like God has power. And talking about divine, it emanates from God. And talking about judgment, there's nobody that can outjudge the Lord. The Lord is the final authority in all matters and all practice and everybody and everything and all creation. He is the final judge. He gets the last say. It proceeds from God, divine judgments. We're talking about judgment and judging, but we're looking over what divine judgment and what the scriptures have to say about it. It's godlike judgment. It's heavenly judgment. It's excellent in its highest degree, extraordinary, and it's above, way above what that is, judgment of human beings, human judgment. The Bible says a divine sentence is in the lips of a king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. One thing about God's judgment and knowing divine judgment is that God's judgment does not transgress when it comes to judgment. God's judgment is righteous altogether. And then we begin to look at some aspects of divine judgment. The first thing that we studied was divine judgment must be from a divine being. How ridiculous to think that you can have divine judgment from a human being. There's a lot of people that say they can, and there's a lot of people that say, that stand on stage and say that they divine by making judgments to cast out devils and to do this and to slap somebody across the head and let them fall and shake on the stage and this, that, and the other, and all of a sudden their cancer is gone and all this, that, and the other. Why not do that in a hospital, buddy? Because they can't do it. That's why. And if they was really, if it was divine judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be where the Lord Jesus Christ was, where all the sick people was. He went where all the people that needed help, and he judged them devils and healed those people. But divine judgment must be from a divine being. And then we also talked about the design and the intent and the purpose of divine judgment. What's it meant for? The design of it, the intent of it, and the purpose of it. Well, it's to punish evil. One thing that we need to understand about the Lord God is that He hates evil. Always. There's never a time that the Lord is pleased or compromised or concedes with evil or makes concessions with evil. He doesn't. He hates evil. And he punishes evil. And he's punished it since the beginning of the scriptures all the way through. And the very last verse in Malachi in the Old Testament was that way. And in the scriptures, the last book of the New Testament is about God's judgment against evil. And the last enemy to be defeated, the Bible says, is death. And the Bible says that sin bringeth forth death. And what brings forth sin? Evil. Evil things, evil thoughts, evil imaginations. He punishes evil. The design and intent and purpose of divine judgment is to punish evil. What else do we say? To chasten. To whip his children. If you're one of God's children and you're playing around with evil and you're playing around with things that you shouldn't be playing around with and you know better and you won't repent of it, God's going to whip you until you do. He's going to give you a whooping and lovingly bring you out of that with a strap. You say, not God. Yeah, well, you'll find out. If you're one of God's children, you're going to find out. And any of you out there that are saved, you cannot say that God is a God of love and he don't whip anybody. You know better than that. That's a bunch of nonsense. It's a bunch of pagan comic strip. God does whip. And he whips, not only whips, but he scourges. There's a difference in that. It leaves marks, scourging. And any of you that have been whipped by the Lord, you might even have some marks from where you was whipped by. I do. I've got some marks on this body that come from God's whipping. Yeah. To punish evil, to chasten. He chastens his children, says the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Now, what else about divine judgment? Well, concerning the design of it and the intent of it and the purpose of it is to manifest God's righteousness. That was the last thing we talked about on our last lesson, to manifest God's righteousness. One way or another, the Lord is going to be glorified. And when it comes to this matter of judgment and divine judgment, nobody's going to make a mistake of whose judgment was executed. It's going to manifest God's righteousness. Divine judgment is designed to show how righteous God is. Divine judgment is with the intent of showing how righteous the Lord is and how righteous his judgment is, and that he's not a compromiser, and that he, like the devil, loves evil, and like the devil loves there's no good in him. There's no good in him. There's no bad in the Lord. There's no evil in the Lord whatsoever. He's altogether lovely. He's perfect. He is a perfect, righteous, holy, wonderful Lord, correct, judging God in a divine manner. It's going to be good to have the mind of Christ in the future, isn't it? It says we're going to have the mind of Christ. We're going to be able to think like him. We're going to imagine like him. We're going to judge like him. The Bible says we're going to judge. And we're going to judge for the Lord. We're going to judge angels. Could you judge an angel right now? Why not? Well, we know why not, don't we? Because we don't have divine judgment. We don't have judgment like the Lord. It's to punish evil. It's to chasten. It's to manifest God's righteousness. The purpose of divine judgment is to manifest God's righteousness. Okay, what else? Well, divine judgment, the intent, the design, and the purpose of it is to correct. Now, that could be said that we've been over that when we talked about chastening. But chastening is more father-son sort of thing. And it's to bring a father, it's to bring a son back in fellowship with his father. Now, to correct is to stop something that is being done wrongly, and to correct it and get you in the right thinking of it. It's a little bit different. Let's read some scripture about it. The Bible says in Habakkuk 1:12, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction." For correction. The Lord is going to correct us. There's a difference in being corrected, and they're pretty close to the same, but they do have a difference. The Bible says in Job chapter 5 and verse 17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." You see, they are similar to the same, but it's for correcting also. It's for correcting something that is incorrect, that is wrong, something that you're doing that's wrong. Now, you might be getting a whooping, but you won't fix it. That's chastening. When you get a whooping, that's chastening. But when you get corrected, you make the wrong thing right. You see the difference? You can be whipped by the Lord for years and years and years and years. I know some people personally that will not straighten up some things in their life, and they're making the Lord whip them for years and years and years and years. And it really, when you see that kind of stuff, it burdens your heart. And you're thankful that the Lord's merciful enough to you to get you out of that mess and get you in the right frame of mind where you'll straighten up and correct things that are in your life, so that you don't have to keep on getting a whooping or go through a class the second and the third and the fourth time. But there's some people that do that, and it's sad to see. They're just stubborn, and they won't correct it. But divine judgment, the intent of it, and what we say, the intent of it and the purpose of it and the design of it is to correct. Is to correct. Now, people say that you shouldn't judge. How are you going to look at the Lord and call him your heavenly father and say that he, and say, well, God doesn't correct people. God loves all the time. He's just sitting there like Santa Claus and just wants to pass out kisses. He can't wait to give you a hug. God loves to hug, and he loves to give you a big kiss. But he will tear your hind end up if you won't correct something. And he's a good father. He is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. And when he does correct you and you get that thing right, what does the scripture say? Job 5:17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected." You ain't got to worry about that thing no more. God got you out of it. He helped you correct that thing. "Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." One of them is for letting you know that you're doing wrong and your choices are wrong, and that God ain't going to put up with it. And one of them is to fix something that needs fixing and to correct it and to move on. Divine judgment is for correcting the intent of it, the design of it, and the purpose of divine judgment is for correction, to correct things. What else? Well, one other thing is to warn others. Not only is divine judgment to punish evil, to chasten, to manifest God's righteousness, and to correct, but it's for warning. You say God doesn't pass out. Yes, he does. God's been warning people, and he warns you. He says you better not do that. He does do that. Don't you think that he doesn't? It's just getting to where in this world it looks like there's no warning for anything because sin has gotten so stinking ignorant and up in your face sort of thing. Sodomy and like Sodom and Gomorrah is just out in the streets to where you can't sleep in the streets because it's so dangerous. To warn others. Listen to what the scripture says. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 1 through 5, it says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that the Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Did you get that? Of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, that's pretty unloving of Jesus to say that, isn't it? Do you know who Jesus is? He's God in the flesh. He's saying what his heavenly Father said. He said that he come down to say his Father's words. Now, this is what God thinks. This is divine judgment. You look at these Galileans and the ones that got their blood mingled with the sacrifices and Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And they say, you see the sacrifices these Galileans made? And Jesus said, you think they were sinners above all Galileans? The Lord said, don't mean nothing. He said, you wait until if you don't repent. You wait until you see what's going to happen if you don't repent. When Jesus was on his way to the cross, and he was carrying that cross, and he had just been flayed open, and his body was torn. The Bible says his broken body, his body was torn all to pieces by them professional Roman soldiers and executors. And he was on the way to the cross. There were some women walking behind him that loved him and were weeping because of what was happening to him. Do you know what Jesus done? Out of all the things that a man suffering like that and going to his death, not any way to get out of it, knowing that he's going to die, but suffering like crazy on the way there, it seemed like a man would say something to try to get himself out of it, especially if he's innocent. Right? That ain't what Jesus did. He turned around and told them women, he said, weep not for me. He said, don't cry for me, girls. He said, but cry for yourselves and for your children. Because if they do this in a green tree, what's going to happen when it's dry? He said, I'm here right now. I'm God. I'm trying to do good for y'all. He said, and y'all are killing me. You're putting me to death. He said, the green tree is here. He said, if they do this in a green tree, what's going to happen whenever I'm gone and it's dry and there ain't no word of God and there ain't no God here for you? But what's the Jews been through? Yeah. He told them, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and your children. To warn others. Divine judgment. Divine judgment was being administered to Jesus at that time. God the Father was judging his Son. He was judging sin upon his Son that time to warn others. The reason people do what they do nowadays flagrantly, or however you say that, just out in the open and in your face kind of stuff and do what they do, is because they hadn't seen the people on the other side yet and their suffering and how God can make you suffer. But we're talking about divine judgment. to warn others. Jude chapter 1, verse 5 through 15, listen to this. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of the things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints," that's us, to execute judgment, in case you missed that, to execute judgment. In another place, the Bible says he's not coming to see if anybody wants to fight him. He's coming to make war. God is a God of war. Divine judgment. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. To warn others. Divine judgment. What are we talking about? We're talking about what the divine judgment and what the design and the intent and the purpose of it is. It's to warn others. What else? Well, the Bible says in 2 Peter, listen to what Peter had to say about that. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you." That's why it's so very important for you to have that Bible in front of you when you're listening to somebody, to make sure that the things that are being said are so. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies." They're lying to you. "Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction." That's judgment, you know. "And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And not talking about the truth being a good thing anymore. They start preaching against the truth. "Well, those King James lovers, well, those Bible only and King James onlys and blobbity blabbity blah blah blab." Speaking against the truth. And through covetousness, they with feigned words, deceitful words, feigned words make merchandise of you. Prosperity gospel, huh? Merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. It's coming. It's coming. The Bible's very clear about that. Very clear. Talking about divine judgment. You see, divine judgment is different than, especially today, nowadays, there used to be some judgment in this country. And I'm talking about America. There used to be judgment in this country because it was following divine judgment and what God said about things and what the Word of God said about things. Speedy judgment, but take care of the matter and take care of it. But now you get to spend 30 years in jail and get fed and get to misbehave and nobody can touch you. Nobody can do this. Nobody can do that. There's no punishment. There's no chastening. There's no righteousness preached to you because you got the right to be a Satanist if you want to. And there's definitely no warning. You can't warn others or threaten them. None of it. That's not divine at all. Because God does it. He warns people. He corrects people. And He makes sure that His righteousness is manifested. And He does chasten people and He punishes people. And the Bible says it's reserved for those that don't want to listen. So talking about divine judgment. Divine judgment. Now, when we get into this matter of judgment and judging on a personal level, this divine judgment and knowing what God thinks and what the Word of God says is the mind of Christ and the mind of His Father and the mind of God the Holy Ghost concerning judgment, then it'll show us how we're supposed to think concerning judgment. Yes, Christ loves, and we are to show Christ's love. But when it gets on a personal level of judgment and judging and having an opinion and watching and seeing things and making judgments of it, there is one portion of judgment for a Christian that he is not to judge and judge wrongly. But that's the exception. The rule is that God teaches us to judge and teaches us how to judge. There's no place in the Scriptures where God says for us not to judge. That's ignorant. That's foolishness. God is a mighty judge, and He judges everything all the time. And so do we. You'll see all this as we get on into our study, but divine judgment. Divine judgment must be from a divine being. We've seen the intent, the design, and the purpose of divine judgment. And then another thing that we need to look at is the causes of it. What brings about divine judgment? What causes it? What makes God judge? Well, first thing is disobedience. If you want to see God's judgment, look where the disobedience is to His Word. Where there's disobedience, there's judgment is going to fall. God says it will, and it will. It might be now, it might be tomorrow, it might be 20 years from now, it might be in eternity, but it's going to fall. And the Bible says because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the Son of Man are set in them to do evil. In other words, men say, well, God ain't whooping me, so He must not care. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. That's how come you got so much stinking crime in the world now. And you got kids killing kids. It's because nobody can give them a whooping and correct them. Disobedience. What's the causes of divine judgment? Disobedience. Well, how you know that? Because 2 Chronicles shows us. Listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 19 through 22. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath He brought all this evil upon them. And He did. And He still is. And the worst is yet to come in the tribulation for the Jews, just before the Lord comes and saves them, and they turn to Him finally. I remember a day when every nation on this planet feared the United States. They didn't fear the United States as a people, or as a physical land or anything like that. They feared the power that was behind the United States. Divine power. The Lord. They feared this nation because God was in charge of it. That's why America had any status and anything having to do with anything in the world. Do you know what recently I've heard senators and congressmen and even the presidents and everybody else saying? This country is despicable in the eyes of the world now. Everybody's laughing at America. And they are. You know why? Because they've done just what 2 Chronicles warned them not to do. They caused the Lord to do this. They said, get out, Lord. We don't want you anymore. We're sick of you. We want our women's rights. We want our abortion. We want the children to rule and reign over people. We want to have our races and our minorities, and we want to have all the sodomites and the perverts, and we want everybody to have their rights to be what they want to be, when they want to be it, and how they want to be it, and we want to be able to pay them for it and give them privileges for it, and we want our sin. Yum, 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 yum. So get out, God. And He did. These things are not happening because people have gotten worse. People have always been this way and had this nature in this country. The things are just starting to be manifested because there's nobody stopping it anymore called God the Holy Ghost. And you think it's bad now? You wait till the rapture happens and the Lord pulls us out of here and God the Holy Ghost leaves permanently. Yeah. They kicked God out and said, we don't want you anymore. And the Lord said, okay. And he took his hands and went, and he backed up and said, have it your way. And listen what the scripture says. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods, Muhammad and Buddha and Satan and all these other religions in this country now, and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight. And he did, Nebuchadnezzar and the other fellow that came in AD 70. Will I cast out of my sight and will make it a proverb and a byword among nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by. That's what this country is to everybody else that passes by. So that he shall say, well, let's go to America. We get in America, we can do anything. Why hath the Lord done this thing to this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. What's the causes of divine judgment? Disobedience. Disobedience. There are still people in this land that love the Lord and fear him and are trying to live for him in spite of all this outwardly and openly wickedness and even the hierarchy of this country, and the people that are supposed to be the most godliest people are up there in the highest offices of this country acting like a bunch of fools and trying to cut one another down on national TV and bring out their sin and just blobbity blab most shameful things in the world. But disobedience. The causes of divine judgment, one of them is disobedience. What else? Well, rejecting God's warnings. You don't think this country has been warned by the Lord? Yes, it has. But one cause of divine judgment is rejecting God's warnings. God's warnings come. God is very compassionate with us and very long-suffering with all people. And he will send warning after warning after warning. That's what was the whole purpose of all the prophets was to send them warning. You're getting on my nerves. And I'm about to be sick of putting up with this. And the prophets would go tell them. And what would they do? They'd kill the prophets and shame them and cast them out. And then judgment would fall. They would reject God's warnings. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 15 through 17, listen to this. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers rising up betimes. In other words, he sent them early, sent them real early, so that there wouldn't be no judgment. He sent them early, betimes, by his messengers, rising up betimes, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the kings of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden or old man, and him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. I mean, it comes to the point to where God says, enough. Let me ask you a question. Knowing that, talking about divine judgment and rejecting God's warnings and what we just read in God's Word, what He done to Israel and sent B times, warning after warning after warning, do you think America has been warned enough? Simple question. Do you think America's been warned enough about rejecting God's warnings? Getting pretty close, isn't it? If it hasn't already passed, I think it's turning over a new leaf now. I think the Lord has given everybody their wishes and withdrawn Himself and withdrawing Himself. And I think the only reason He hasn't unloaded on this country yet is because of the people that still love Him and are still serving Him, like you. God bless you for that. What else? Divine judgment. Divine judgment. What's the causes of it? Well, the causes of it is disobedience and rejecting God's warnings. What else? Idolatry. Having idols. You know, the Lord is a jealous God. He says that over and over and over in the Scriptures. And He's sick. It makes Him vomit to see somebody worshiping a tree or a stone or an idol. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 28 through 34, listen to this. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem, and cast it away, and take up a lamentation on high places, for the Lord hath rejected and forsaken this generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. But they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beast of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. For the land shall be desolate. Divine judgment. God gets sick of people, especially talking about God's house. They was bringing those stinking false gods right up into, not only having them in their houses, but bringing them up into God's house. And spitting in His face and saying, this is God. Lord says, okay. Mm-hmm. And of course we see that this is prophetically the tribulation or the battle of Armageddon, when the fowls come and they eat all the carcasses, and the Lord calls all the fowls and says, come and feast. Prophetically. But this happened. And it's going to happen. And this is God's judgment. For idolatry. If you got any idols in your house, get them out. You think it doesn't matter? Then you calling Jeremiah a liar? You calling the Lord a liar? He said He hates that stuff. What's the problem with getting rid of the idols?
Don't you love the Lord more than anything? Get rid of that junk. Devils take places in those idols. When you bring idols into your home and things like that, statues and all the little things and stuff like that, devils come in with that stuff because they know that God doesn't like them. But because you're allowing that stuff in opposition to God's word, the Lord won't stop them devils from coming in your house. They have not permission, but they have authorization to go in. They have a right to go in because you're allowing it. Now, if you was against it and resisting it, then the Lord would keep them out. But you bring them in, the devils are coming in. You got idols in your house, you got devils in your house. Do you understand that? Idolatry brings divine judgment. Divine judgment. What are we talking about? We're talking about the causes of it. What causes divine judgment? It's simple. Disobedience, rejecting God's warnings, and idolatry, and what else? Well, here's a big one. The sins of the rulers. A lot of times the Lord will bring judgment upon a people because of his rulers. And you know, America can't say anything, well, it's the rulers' fault. Well, who votes the rulers in? Yeah, the sins of the rulers. Divine judgment is caused by the sins of the rulers. Well, let's read about it. Let me read it to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, listen to this. It says, now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. And their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram, because he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew all his brethren with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David. And as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever. In his days the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him, and he arose up by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him in, and the captains of their chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he had high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compel Judah thereto. Instead of them coming to the temple, he built these little high places of worship where the people could just go there instead of going where God told them to. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but has walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and has made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also has slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods, and thou shalt have great sickness by diseases of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against him, against Jehoram, the spirit of the Philistines and the Arabians, and were near the Ethiopians. And they come up into Jerusalem and break into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, save Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him, like the burning of his fathers. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Howbeit, they burned him in the city of David, but not in the sepulcher. They buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulcher of the kings. Divine judgment, it comes upon people because of the sins of the rulers. Because of the sins of the rulers. This should be preached in the Senate and in the Congress. It should be read just like I read it just now in front of everybody up there, and they can grit their teeth and grind their teeth and snort and holler and foam at the mouth and everything else they want to, but it needs to be read to them. The sins of the rulers cause the problems and bring divine judgment upon the people. Notice the Lord said, the wives and the children and all thy goods, and he's going to smite the people and the children and the wives and all thy goods, and he's going to send a great disease, an incurable disease among your people. And he's going to sick other nations on you. Why? That wouldn't be nothing but truth. That wouldn't be nothing but truth up in Congress and the Senate, wouldn't it? In the House of Representatives. And everybody sitting up there. This ought to be read in front of everybody. The sins of the rulers. Divine judgment. What are we talking about? We're talking about the judgment and judging. We're talking about divine judgment. And what about divine judgment? Well, the causes of it. Disobedience. Rejecting God's warnings. Idolatry, sins of the rulers, and one last one we're going to do, loving evil. Just simple old loving evil. I love my evil. And that's the way that flesh is. It's corrupt. The Adamic nature is exactly that way. It loves evil. That's why the Lord said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And Romans chapter 1 and verse 18 through 32, and I'll read this to you, and we'll stop right there. For the wrath of God, notice it said wrath. You ought to do a little Bible study for 5 minutes on the word wrath. W-R-A-T-H. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now there's what God thinks of that. You pick what it is, but that's what God thinks of it. Dishonoring your body between yourselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, what they deserved. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's what you want. That's what you can have. Have at it. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Does it get any plainer than that, brothers and sisters? Love and evil. And that's just what that scripture right there, what Paul described in that portion of scripture that we just read. A bunch of sinners that have despised God and turned away from him and his words and hate the good and love the evil. And the Lord says just the opposite and commands us just the opposite. He said, love the good and hate the evil. Oh, well, we shouldn't hate anything. Hate. Hate crimes. Hate this. Hate that. Put him in jail. Lock him up. The Lord says, hate evil. Hate it. What's evil? All those things he just described. One more scripture. Psalm chapter 34, verse 16. Talking about divine judgment and the causes of it. Is loving evil? The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He's not talking about sin. He's talking about sinners. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. Let me ask you something. Is the memory of America fading? And you better believe it is. You better believe it. Say bye-bye. Bye-bye. America? What's America? Where's it at? And I'm not happy about that. But I hate even more than that, and you should too, that our Lord is not getting the respect and the honor and the glory in this country anymore that he should get, because he deserves it. We'll stop right there. We're talking about judgment and judging. That's our study. And in our study, we've been talking about divine judgment. We first talked about divine judgment must be from a divine being. We talked about the design, intent, and purpose of divine judgment and what reasons and things that had to do with that. And then we talked about the causes of it today. Disobedience, rejecting God's warnings, idolatry, sins of the rulers. Remember that in 2024 when you vote. Loving evil. And then on our next study, we're going to get into one more part, or another part, that is, of divine judgment and the cause, and talk about the kinds of it. What kinds of divine judgment are there? How does God pass out judgment? The kinds of it. We'll talk about that. All right? Good study, huh? Good study. Listen, you don't have to worry about all that. God's not going to judge you. He's already judged you through Jesus Christ and judged everything about it. What your business is now is to get people saved and in the family of God and to do the things before the Lord that are pleasing in His sight and honor Him in your life, no matter what this world does. This world is going to hell in a handbasket. And it's on its way, and you can see it coming. It's heating up by the day. And you don't have to worry about that or fear it. God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And as long as you stay in the Scriptures and study the truth and keep the truth in your mind and just strengthen yourself with God's words, then you have peace and confidence that the Lord's going to bring you through it and out of it. And then we won't have to put up with it ever, ever, ever again. That's our hope. Love the good and hate the evil. And you see where judgment's going to fall? See where judgment is falling in? The world has no idea what judgment is, do they? They have no idea what judgment is. Real judgment. Real judgment. And even when we get down to judgment on a personal level and knowing all these other forms of judgment and things like that, it makes it kind of less important to talk about, doesn't it? Okay, well, we'll get on into that. Let me give you some scriptures, okay? You ready? Let me see where I am. Okay, how about this one? Habakkuk 1:12. Job 5:17, Luke 13:1-5, Jude 1:5-15, 2 Peter 2:1-9, 2 Chronicles 7:19-22, 2 Chronicles 36:15-17, Jeremiah 7:28-34, 2 Chronicles 21:1-20, Romans 1:18-32, and the last scripture for today is Psalms 34:16. Psalms 34:16. All right. Divine judgment and the causes of it. God is true. God is right all the time. If God says it, that's it. And that's why we study His Word. We rightly divide God's Word so that we can know what God's mind is concerning thinking over what God thinks in matters and what we should think. Because that's what we want to know. Lord, how should I think about this? Because I want to do the things that are pleasing in Your sight, Father, because I love You. And I thank You for all of my hope and that You've taken care of everything in my life and still do. abundantly above all that we can think. All right, well, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you again on the next one. Bye-bye.